to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
Rollaboom got the drums. Cinderace got the sun. But Inteleon is the best cause it's got a gun.
Okay, I was going to criticize you for using that sound effect again, but that worked. That honestly really worked.
I was kind of like trying to look for a different sound effect for how to start up a poem, but that's pretty much the classic one I can only find so far right now.
Well, actually, Will, that wasn't a poem. That was a haiku, but whatever. Anyway, of course, Talia's Tyler is here.
I appreciate what you did there, Will. I just disagree with the premise. Inteleon's Gigantamax form is, it's odd. It's very odd. It reminds me of Meowth's Gigantamax form.
With the elongated body. Yeah.
In not a good way. I like
Come on, it's
best,
got
though.
A gun. It's got a gun.
It does have a gun. Yeah, foreshadowing to Pokemon Gun. More, yet again, Pokemon Gun has been foreshadowed.
I mean, Tyler, I know you're going to be surprised to hear this. I liked Rillaboom's the best.
I do too. Rillaboom's is sick.
That's not to say Cinderace doesn't have a cool one with him like actually riding a fireball. That's cool in its own right. But just the size of the drums.
Yes. I completely agree.
Boom!
Cinderace is awesome. Yeah. I think it fits in the rest of his designs where it's a little bit more muted than the other ones, but he still looks great. And I'm sure, again, his animation is awesome.
Yeah, it's
so
going to be good.
Expecting more of the same there.
So as you can tell, ladies and gentlemen, we are all very hyped on what was revealed today at the time of this recording with the Pokemon Direct, which we'll be dedicating two segments to today. We're very excited about that, but we're going to get all started off with what have you been playing? Pokemon.
Really?
Yeah, of course. Well, no, seriously, I've been playing Pokemon Shield. I honestly haven't had too much time because of football, of all things. Because both Saturday and Sunday, among other things, I was busy watching football. By the way, Tyler, how about damn Patriots?
That was sad. This has been a really rough few days for me in the world of sports. That's why I'm excited to escape to the world of gaming. I mean, my Red Sox are cheating. The Patriots got knocked out. The Sixers lost Joel Embiid.
Yep.
It's been rough.
Uh-huh. So would you say that for Bray, that was a Titanic defeat?
Yeah, that was definitely was. I mean, they were bad this year.
We keep saying that, but they were 10 and they were, what was their final score?
12-4.
And we keep saying they're bad. When has that ever happened that there are 12-4 team? Oh yeah, they're a bad team, but they're in a 12-4. When has that ever happened?
Well, they lost to the because they got weaker as the season went on.
The Saints lost to the Falcons. They got blown out. It happens. Everyone has a bad game. Anyway, we're getting off topic, obviously. But seriously, I have been playing Pokemon Shield. I haven't had a lot of time, so I'm still not that far. But it is still fun having this unique team with me and trying to make it more of a battle team than anything else. And with everything that's going to be coming in Pokemon, I'm very excited to beat this so that when I get the expansion pass, I'll have a lot of cool content for both Sword and Shield to carry me through a summer that I still don't know anything about, Nintendo. Thanks a lot, jerks. But I also want to talk about Fire Emblem Heroes for a few reasons. And one of them is because of you, Will.
Oh.
I will need your help with name pronunciation because you seem to be an expert on this. Okay, so I have been waiting patiently, very patiently, for the next hero banner to come out, right? And I had at my disposal at one point about 350 orbs thanks to Tempest Trials, Voting Gauntlets, everything. And I was like, this banner just hasn't come out yet. So I'm like, you know what? Let's break tradition and let's go and do the New Year's banner, you know, because I liked the Alphonse and Serena and Anna stuff. So I was like, you know, let's just dump a few orbs into this. Let's try and get one of them. I spent over 100 orbs and I didn't get anybody. I got a repeat 5-star, right? And I was really, really mad. But I was like, okay, I still got the Tempest Trials going on, and then now Forging Bonds came out. Then we had, like, all of these numerous, like, login bonuses, including one we just got for 10 orbs. And I'm like, You know what? I'll be all right. I also did get back to up to 300 before I got, before I went into the banner. So I go and do my free summon, and I got one of the characters. I got the male swordsman. What was his name? Shannon.
Shannon, whatever.
I got him on my free summon. And I was
lucky
like, oh,
you.
I know. I was lucky. I was like, oh, this is payback for the New Year's banner. Okay, I dig it. So I'm like, well, I've now got 300 orbs to spend. I have no idea when the new banner is coming around. So let's just go to my next 5-star. So I do a round. I don't get anything. And I go to the next round. First one, I get Shaynon again. I'm like, this is a sign. This is a sign. But, you know, let's keep going. I've only wasted about 10 orbs. And I was like, okay, let's keep going. And so I do another round. And then I hit Tibarn. And I'm like, I've already got Lord of Hawks. I had him, of course, in the original banner where I got all four within 100 orbs. And I'm like, you know what? This is a sign, so I'm going to stop. But I was like, that was really weird that I got Shaynon twice within like 10 orbs of himself. I'd be like, wow. I also got two Valders within 2 summons of itself. Like, I was in the same board, had 2 blues, and they were both Valders, just different levels. I'm like, really?
That's funny.
Oh, yeah, not as, quote, funny as the time I got 2 Ogmas back-to-back. That was, I can't believe. What are the odds of that? Okay. All right. And finally, and this is the you thing, Will. We got a new story chapter. All right, and we meet one of the Dark Elves. That's their technical name, right? The Dark Elves. And I can't say her name for the life of me.
Yeah, the pronunciation is definitely up there. I mean, it's Norse. It's very Norse.
I'm just gonna call her Effie. Not Effie, but F E. Get it? Ha ha ha. And when we meet her, she says, and I quote, I'm the fairy of lewd dreams.
That was real?
That was real.
That was
real. I have not read that part. That's in the story, really? I have not read that part.
I saw that on Twitter, and I thought that was fan made.
Nope. And if you want me to, I can go right into...
No, I believe you. I saw it on Twitter. I really thought that was fan-made.
I meant to take a screenshot and tag you and Will into it. I just forgot. And I was laughing so dang hard. Because...
That's hilarious.
Yes, it is hilarious. Because first of all, obviously this is Will's new waifu. Just
curious.
Just because of the benefits that she gives.
Curious. I-O.
But also... Let's be honest here. Let's be objective here, okay? This game is so fan service in the way the forms of the women are portrayed, and we've talked about this at length on this podcast. And I mean, especially with like Low Key and Camilla, or however you want to say her name, and like all their different forms and blah blah blah. But we were like, you know, that's just design choice, okay? That's them appealing to their kind of anime nature, you know, that kind of thing. Okay, fine, whatever. You cross the line when you say I'm the fairy of lewd dreams, all right? Because there is no other way to interpret lewd. And then our light fairy, whose name I also can't say.
Peony, Penny.
Yeah, Peony, something like that, yeah.
Peony,
yeah.
Whatever, yeah, Peony. She's actually trying to spin it to where lewd dreams means nightmares. Girl, I don't know what to mention you from, but no one who has a lewd dream thinks it's a nightmare. Okay. I mean, I respect your innocence, light fairy, or light elf, or whatever you want to call yourself, but when a woman comes up to you and says, I'm the fairy of lewd dreams, you ain't thinking nightmare, okay?
I can't help but wonder, maybe it's because of, like, intelligence systems, maybe localization team of some sort. I can't help but wonder if it's probably something the translation team might wonder.
Okay, now that's a horrifying thought, because what would it say in Japanese?
Right.
If lewd is the translation that they, or the localization of what it, what in the frick is her translation in Japanese? Because it can only get lewder. Alright, I mean, what...
Possibly, yeah.
I mean, oh gosh, I don't even want to say it because this is technically a G-rated podcast. but no, it's just like, thanks for putting that evil thought in my mind, Will. So yeah, like, that was a highlight outside of getting the 5 stars was finding Will's new waifu in fairy form who gives lewd dreams to people. It's like, okay.
Curious, I'm quite curious.
oh yeah, curious, Will. That's a nice way of putting it. That's your localization, I'm sure. And, but yeah, that's honestly all I've been playing. But now that the weekend is coming and with the Direct coming, I'm definitely going to dive back into Pokemon. And I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. So there you go.
Yeah, I guess like on my side of things, yeah, just on the recent of the battles as well. Before the legendary yeah, the one before the legendary ban was lifted, I actually managed to go and pull another. I was trying to go get Claude with Graze. Sadly enough, I got pretty broken by getting another Grima, female Grima, female Robin Grima, and another Edelgard, so which is. All right, I try my best. But I'm also kind of got quite surprised that at the Voting Gauntlet, what's her name?
Veronica.
Like, yeah, Veronica. Thank you, thank you. Yeah, Veronica actually won the Voting Gauntlet against Edelgard, which quite surprising. Quite surprising. I guess everybody still loved like just that little tyrant, as I say. Apparently, they love the little tyrant over the Edelgard, which can't help, can't help. But yeah, well, yeah. So far, Fire Emblem Heroes is pretty much doing that with the new banners and with thank you and touch system for that 10 orbs somehow back to high numbers. But aside from that, I've also been slowly, yes, slowly been progressing on Fire Emblem Three Houses with the Red House. Just, again, I'm sorry, I just really want to
With the
be
Red
extra
House.
The Red House.
Crimson House. Red House, Crimson House, Tomato, Tomato. But
Crimson
yeah, just
House. The Black Eagle, Will. It's the Black Eagle
Black
House.
Eagles.
Tomato, Tomato. Yeah, just basically really grinding up the stats and just getting every yeah. And also, have you guys actually played with a little bit with Yuritsa?
I never got him.
I have not yet. I'm not there yet on my Black Eagle run.
Okay. And yeah, like if you haven't spoiled yourself already, I gotta say Yuritsa. Not that interesting character. It's kind of a shame that he only has one social link, and that's with Mercedes. But like once with Baev and Mercedes, it's just like I just kind of wish they kind of expanded upon him a bit more. That's all I'm gonna say. But his
No,
character,
I agree. I agree. That was a little disappointing. And the same thing for Anna, who has no support.
none, which is sad.
Man
Which
has
is
no
sad.
support. That's
Anna has no support.
lame.
Just a side quest. That's it. So yeah, that's kind of sad. So yeah, you're. So I've been slowly working on the Crimson House, and actually I can kind of been sucked back into Tetris 99, and jeez, I forgot how intense Tetris 99 was, and I don't know, it's Tetris, you know the deal with Tetris 99, and yeah, overall just got kind of like slowly getting back into Nintendo Switch before the vacation hits, and perhaps I can finally get some decent dents in my backlog with Three Houses so you two can stop berating me. So
Never.
that's what I've been doing so far.
The berations will never stop, Will. Until you start chewing through Nintendo games within a year of their launch.
Hey, Tyler, I'm done with three of the four house runs. How many have you done?
I've done three of the four house runs.
Oh wow, so we're like basically done with the game. It's
Yeah.
just like wow. That's incredible. And Will is not even done with one house. So yeah,
No.
the humiliation will never stop.
Elitist.
You want.
More like fans of Fire Emblem,
Or
but
what's the word? Oh yeah, completionists.
yeah,
You know,
completionists.
'cause
That's
we actually know how to
yeah.
complete games in a timely manner. And not just ones made
He's
by Hideo Kojima.
Will's been brought to silence from his
It's
shame.
a gift.
I plead the fifth.
Yeah, I bet you do. I bet you do. All right, Tyler, save us from Will.
Yes, I have not been playing a ton because I just started a new job that requires me to wake up at 5 in the morning, and I come home and I am exhausted and I go to sleep and then I wake up and do it all over again. But I have gotten to play a little bit of Heroes, and I'm very happy that I, in the Legendary Banner, got Dimitri and Claude. So now I'm only missing female Byleth from that banner from a while back, and I really don't need female Byleth. I'm just happy I got Dimitri. But yeah, if Fire Emblem Heroes, there's always something to do in this game now, and I don't know when that happened, but I'm really glad that they've kind of gotten the wheels back on. I was looking at a graphic on Reddit the other day of all the characters that weren't that still aren't in the game, and there's a pretty big pool of characters, but they've almost finished Echoes. There's almost every character from Echoes is almost in the game. A ton of characters from Awakening, just outside of a few children, are in the game. So I do wonder how Intelligent Systems is going to spread out these banners. I'm sure they'll probably continue to release reskins of popular characters already in the game to kind of keep keep themselves from running out of new characters to bring in. But I'm really hoping we can get another Three Houses banner either in the next story, whenever we, when they bring out the next new wave, or the one after that, because we're missing so many characters from Three Houses. I think we only have Hubert and Petra and Mercedes and Hilda from like the actual houses outside of the main leaders. So I want to see some more of them get added into the game.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you're right.
We are missing quite a few.
Mm-mm. Yeah, right. It's just kind of interesting. Like, yeah, I know that about the Fire Emblem has a lot of characters that are still yet to be used as original characters with the recent release of the Genealogy of the Holy War, of the current banner. But I can't help but wonder, when were they gonna face the issue of having like reskins? Like, again, we have like how many Robins, how many Kamalos, and all that. I just kind of wonder if when they're gonna have to double dip into old characters. I can't help but wonder.
Yeah, I'm sure that will happen. I was actually using my horse Crom a lot, and I like listening to his quotes. I did love when they did it for characters like that. I'm not so huge on when like smaller characters, like I think Nino has an alt, and I don't know why. Flying Nino is cool, but I don't know why Nino particularly has an alt. I'd rather see some of the more, I guess, more important characters get those, but I'm sure every character has their fan base. We haven't gotten the Choose Your Legends, though.
Yeah,
yet.
I feel it's coming. I feel
it's coming. It's coming. I bet you any amount of money it'll be in February with the anniversary.
Okay. Yeah, that could be. That could be. It feels odd that that's not on the radar yet. But yeah, outside of that, I have really not gotten to play hardly any Switch. I think I was playing a little bit of Mario Kart the other night, but that was about it. I really need to start cracking further into Link's Awakening. I haven't played since we talked last week. And then, you know, my back catalog, like yours, Will, is just immense, and I need to find the time to start cutting into it. Maybe I'll just take tomorrow. I don't have to go to work tomorrow. Take tomorrow and just play all of Link's Awakening and just try to beat it in one day.
You could if you worked hard enough.
Yeah,
you
know, how long is that game? Like 10 hours?
It's I'd say 10 to 15 if you know what to do.
Okay,
because
so I don't
some,
know
some
what
dungeons
to do.
Are hard. I mean, they are legit hard. I mean, this was Game Boy hard. So, you know, and then there's a side quest that you absolutely have to know what to do, and it can be a little infuriating, so you're probably going to need a guide. So, just 10 15 hours. 20 if you wanted to like all the side quests. There's like a special.
So, it is possible though I could do that in a weekend.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, dude, the only reason I spread mine out over a week was because I was intentionally trying to savor it.
Right, right.
I was trying to savor it. Savor. You know, because I had like over a month until Luigi's Mansion 3, and then I didn't know if I was going to get Little Town Hero, which I technically beat. And so, I'm just saying. But yeah, you could beat it over a weekend. You can beat it over a weekend.
Nice.
All right, so... Obviously, this week was almost defined by the Pokemon Direct that we had, the 20-minute Pokemon Direct that we had, and we gotta talk about it because there's a lot to break down. So it's time for some Direct Talk. I realize now that I really enunciate those words. I mean, I'm trying to do like an Iwata, Mr. Iwata impression, which is how he's like directly to you, you know. But I really like emphasize talk.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
I don't do that at all. I never enunciate well, and I love when people enunciate well. I was listening to some writer on YouTube, and like every word that she said so crisply. That it was just, it was so nice. It was very strange.
All right. Well, the hype for this one was very interesting because, as we noted last week, a lot of us were expecting a Nintendo Direct, a pure Nintendo Direct, as I like to call them, because of the various reports of the GameStop SKUs and all of that. And then, so to our surprise, we not only got a Pokemon Direct, we got a 20-minute Pokemon Direct. And we were all wondering, what's it going to be about? And everyone's thinking, oh, it's going to be about Pokemon Home. It's going to be about Pokemon Sleep. Maybe a hint about Detective Pikachu 2, which we know is coming. Or maybe, and a lot of people were thinking we were going to get a Gen 4 remake for Switch, which would be curious, I won't lie, especially if they do the Upside Down World, you know, Reverse World, Giratina in there, just saying. But... I was kind of hoping we wouldn't do that. And then there was rumors about Mystery Dungeon and everything. And so finally we get to today. And we went from the worst direct ever to the best direct ever in the course of a few minutes. Because sure enough, the first thing they revealed was the remake of the original Pokemon Mystery Dungeon hashtag Pokemon Rescue Team. And Pokemon Rescue Team DX. And
Any game with DX is good. I mean, Sonic Director's Cut. Boom.
Pokemon Tournament.
Yeah, Pokemon Tournament DX. Come on. Any game with a DX is good. It's much like Super in that way. I'm sure there's a laundry list of games with DX that are trash.
Look it up.
It's probably most of the games with DX are bad.
Look it up, Tyler, while I monologue about Pokemon or Rescue Team. So, just to be clear, this is not a reboot of the franchise. This is an update slash remastering of the original game from the GBA slash DS on the Nintendo, from 2006. And so that's very important to note, all right? But this is why I was worried about it, because if you look at the game, it really doesn't look good. I mean, I know they're saying that it's not final gameplay footage, and I appreciate them saying that, because we've seen games including Pokemon Sword and Shield, Fire Emblem, and even Zelda at one point, and Mario, you know, getting a kind of a visual boost at the end of their, you know, that polished treatment, as we like to call it in the game industry, you know, but it really didn't look good. All right, like the textures, the palettes, it just didn't work. And however, I am happy to see that it's not a direct remake, because they clearly had Pokemon and power-ups that weren't in the original Rescue Team, including Mega Evolutions, which we saw with Mega Charizard X. Shouldn't it be Super Charizard X? You know, because Super, again, makes everything better. Anyway, but so yeah, like that's coming. And here's actually why I think this is going to be a really bad decision. It's coming out 2 weeks before Animal Crossing.
Right. It's coming out in March.
Yeah, March 6th. Literally 2 weeks before Animal Crossing New Horizons. And I don't like that move, because if they put it in February, you could make an argument that that was the big title for that month. And then a lot of people would get a lot of attention to it. Rarely does it work where two quote-unquote big titles come out in the same month for a single system and it all works out in the end. I mean, obviously we're going to have the big case in point. March and April are going to be super jam-packed with games, and someone's going to suffer. All right.
Yes, everybody's wallet's going to suffer during those months. Yes.
And you know, Nintendo's got a loophole, because you know, Animal Crossing is eternal for those who play it and everything. But I totally disagree with the choice too. Kind of like how we had Fire Emblem Warriors come out a week before Super Mario Odyssey. There's no doubt that that hurts sales, even though they're two different genres and two different fan bases. I still think that definitely hurt them, because who are you going to play more likely? You're going to play with Mario, you're going to play with Fire Emblem in a non-Fire Emblem game. So,
I see your point, and actually to kind of agree with it at first and then disagree with it later.
Shocking, you're disagreeing with me.
I think that there's something to be said for it, especially because, and this is purely anecdotal, but one of my old college friends loved Pokemon Mystery Dungeon and loved Animal Crossing. So there's definitely some crossover there. But I feel like in her case, she'll probably just buy both. So yeah, I could see how maybe people can't afford both games, and maybe that causes a little bit of trouble. But I think that we're too caught up on this whole idea that there has to be a game a month. You know, what's the difference between them releasing that game on February 29th and releasing it March 6th? You know, like, there's... Then you say, oh, we have a big game in February, and oh, we have a big game in March.
No,
but at the end of the day, it doesn't particularly matter.
No. It's not about having a game a month. We were lucky that, what was it? Was it 2017? That we had, like, basically a game a month?
Yeah, we got extremely lucky.
But that was a circumstance. That was a circumstance of... This is a new system. They have to have a new game every month. And they basically did, with the exception of May and... Yeah, I guess it was just May.
May and April. Did April have Mario Kart?
April had Mario Kart.
Right.
And that was a success, so that totally counts.
Yeah.
So it was just May.
Well, it's not just... I mean, you're not saying that. You're saying that you're not saying that. But other people are saying... I've seen plenty of times
and they're wrong
on YouTube.
To say that. No, it's more about having room to breathe. You know,
with
the Mario,
I don't know. I think
Fire
that with Pokemon, there's always going to be room for that.
Not room in the space, not room in the library, room to breathe between release titles. Like you say,
right? I see what you're saying. Pokemon games always have legs, though. There's a difference between Pokemon and Fire Emblem Warriors.
I would agree to an extent, but this isn't the main Pokemon franchise. This has always been a sub franchise, and yeah, it's had legs, but some of the later titles honestly didn't do that well. That's why it stopped.
That's true.
It was big in 2006 because this was something different. This was a different kind of Pokemon game, and then they repeated it to high heaven, and we all know what happens to those kinds of games. And this isn't a reboot. This is just literally a remake of the original game. So some people might be turned off by that. And so to have it so close to Animal Crossing, which you know people are going to play to infinity and beyond if they get it, that kind of feels like a disservice to Pokemon Mystery Dungeon because this was their chance to bring it back. And even if it was just on February 29th versus March 6th, that's an extra week where it's not leading up to Animal Crossing.
So that's fair. And maybe they could release the game on February 29th. I don't know how the development cycle works, but obviously you can't release the game until it's ready, one.
Agree.
And
agree.
I would say it's smarter to release it before a big game like Animal Crossing rather than in that immediate aftermath, because then people are already sucked into Animal Crossing and they're not going to be as interested. I would say Animal Crossing is the bigger game than Pokemon Mystery Dungeon.
But we
also don't know what the rest of the calendar looks like. Take the Fire Emblem Warriors example. That came out, what was it, just 1 week before Odyssey, which
literally did
seem strange. But then in November, what was the big November game that year? Why can't I think of it off the top of my head? But Xenoblade was obviously in December.
Oh, they didn't have one.
December. Yeah.
They didn't have one.
We definitely did.
Remember, they had a lot of third-party releases.
You're right.
And then 18 was Let's Go, and then 19 was Sword and Shield.
Right. That's true.
Wow.
So I guess, I don't know, maybe they could have released Fire Emblem Warriors on the Black Friday. Maybe they thought that it would get lost in that mix. I'm sure they have a lot of data on this, and I trust their decision on that. I see the point, but my point is, if they were to say, oh, well, you know what, let's hang on to this one. Like, maybe there's tons of other games that are coming out. Maybe there's not a great spot for it to purely get, you know, all the attention to itself, except for early February, in which case the game is still not ready.
I mean, what did you think overall of the game, Tyler, of what you saw? Like, what did you think?
So that game has been highly recommended to me. I was really excited about it. I know I'm not crazy about remakes that aren't doing something cool. Link's Awakening, I think, is an example of one that did something cool. Its art style was awesome, and it's such an old game to see that brought back. There's a difference between that and a 2006 game to me.
There's a difference between remaking a Game Boy game and remaking a Wii U title.
Right. But I'm definitely excited for Mystery Dungeon. I'm definitely going to pick it up. And hey, by the way, those DX games, Link's Awakening DX, that was a thing.
Apparently,
there was a Tetris DX as well.
Really?
And there was
one more good DX game that I saw that I can't remember off the top of my head. Where is it?
I gotta say, Pac-Man
Championship Edition DX. Oh, yeah, that game was one. Fire.
That game was sweet.
I wish that was on Switch. Pac-Man Championship Edition DX should be on Switch. That game was awesome.
Would be a nice addition, yeah.
Alright, so then obviously, the big reveal was that we are not getting a third and fourth title in Pokemon Sword and Shield. Instead, they are going let's call it the Fire Emblem / Smash Brothers route, and we are getting an expansion pass, but in a unique twist. Because for the first time, actually, not first time in Nintendo history because of Legend of Zelda with the Master Trials and the Rise of the Champions, but first time in Pokemon history, we're getting two dedicated story/game world expansions. All right. The first one is called the Armor Isle, the Isle of Armor, and that's coming out in June, which is perfect timing because if you recall, we actually talked last week about a game possibly being released around E3. That would be a perfect time to do it. The Isle of Armor, and then later on in the fall, we're getting the Crown Tundra. Yeah, very mysterious titles, not. although I do admit I like the idea of the armor title because that fits with sword and shield, you know, sword, shield, armor, and then the crown on your head. The crown is also another name for a helmet. So, yeah, and each one has brand new areas. You're still in the Galar region. Yes, I'm calling it Galar. Areas in the Galar region. New Pokemon are going to appear, including brand new Galar Pokemon, brand new Galarian variant Pokemon, and over 200 Pokemon from the National Dex that will be in the game by the end of it. And by end, I mean the Crown Tundra. But so, yeah, so all you people who've complained and whined, Tyler, kidding, kidding.
I said that I was a fan of that
I
coming.
know. I know. It was Cho who was complaining. It was Crom Cho. Anyway, so you complained and whined that you know the National Dex isn't full enough. Here you go. You're getting 200 extra Pokemon on top of brand new Pokemon, and on top of new Galarian variants, on top of new characters, new stories, new lands, new wild areas, new co-op modes, and more. Yeah!
Yeah, it's a lot of
Yeah.
content they showed
So
off.
just to loosely break it down, the Isle of Armor is going to have you on this brand new island off the coast of the Galar region, and you're going to be an apprentice in a dojo to a man named Mustard.
Yeah, I gotta say, really? I mean, I get it was kind of a reference back to the old cartoon of Tom Atoh and Anchovy, but Mustard, really?
Yeah, and you thought Hop was a bad name.
Yo,
Yeah.
Mustard's way better than Hop.
I do. I don't know about that.
Mustard's kind of cool, actually. I'm kind of excited to learn from Mustard.
But if you fall behind, will you be able to catch up? Are you going to relish his lessons, Tyler?
Oh, absolutely. Well,
Moving on. So, you're going to be an apprentice at this dojo, and you're going to be giving a new Pokemon called Cub Fu. And yeah, kid you not. And when he evolves, he's going to become Urshifu. And Urshifu has two different styles that it can learn depending on, wait for it, which version of the game you have. That's right. If you have Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield, each version of the Isle of Armor is going to be different in terms of who Kung Fu can evolve into, who's going to be another apprentice at the dojo you're going to be at, who you can now meet in an update right now in Pokemon. You're welcome. And each style of Urshifu has a brand new, as a different type. One is fighting in dark, one is fighting in water. And that style will lead to different moves, different Gigantamax forms, and more. And of course, it's going to be, you know, new fashion items, new moves for your bike, new people to fight against, train against, Pokemon to meet, blah, blah, blah. Then, with the Crown Tundra, you're going to go to Russia. I mean, you're going to go to an icy place, and probably no vodka there. Darn. And you're going to have much more of an exploration kind of feel. There's going to be mysterious trees. There's going to be new dens. You're going to meet all the Regis are going to be there. Regice, Registeel, Regirock, Regifisame.
Nice, nice.
I
I
couldn't
need that
resist.
one.
I'm sorry. I
Yeah.
couldn't resist. But there will be two new Regi Pokemon specific to the Galar region. Not variants, just brand new Pokemon. And there's going to be a brand new co-op mode where you can actually team up to fight and capture legendary Pokemon, not unlike what happened with the dimensional rifts in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. Max raid battles will be a little bit different, with a lot more variances of who you're gonna get, and of course, all new Pokemon, new ways to connect with trainers, more wild areas to explore, and so on and so forth. So this is massive, truly massive expansions that we're getting in two parts, and they're technically teasing more. There could be more than this. So how cool is that?
Yeah, like, first things first, I just gotta give props to, like, the Cub Fu. I mean, I understand they're gonna make a whole lot of, like, puns and, like, wordplay jokes on it. Like, Cub Fu, and of course, like, Urshifu, like, Earth, like, an Earthling with Sifu with it. Like, okay, clever, Game Freak, clever. And the fact, like, the two different styles they have is the single strike style and the rapid strike style. I mean, geez, like, the single strike style is, like, very clear. You can easily reference it to, like, Akira's fighting style in a Virtual Fighter, if anyone has played that.
I have.
It's It's going to be pretty interesting how, like, you raise your cup wound to an Ursu, which is kind of very nice. And, like, also, you forgot to mention as well, Ta, like, in the Crown Tundra, there's going to be a new legendary Pokemon called Calyrex.
Right.
And, yeah, like, the only thing I could probably say is it's big brain time. It's like with that Pokemon.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about Calyrex nine. I may have butchered that name, but you know what I'm talking about. The what's it? The Urshifu is very cool. But I am so I loved this direct. I was very excited about everything. But I'm really the one thing I'm disappointed in is that they are still doubling down on these version exclusive differences. I actually like the rapid style significantly more. It reminds me so much of a Swimchow in Sonic, the way its head is designed, and I love its look. And I wish I could get that one, but I'm absolutely not spending $60 on Shield. And I know you can trade. They emphasized that when they talked about how their version exclusive Pokemon. And they said, we hope that people go back to the old-fashioned way of trading Pokemon with their friends or something like that. And it was everything. It was exactly what I thought they were trying to do in this game. And just to hear them say it was validating in a lot of ways, but also frustrating and concerning because that old way of trading is just not. It's just not the fun way to trade anymore. It's just not a way people interact in this day and age. So I do wish that the version exclusives were non-existent here, and I wish you could pick whichever version you wanted rather than having to either trade for or spend $60 to get the other version of the game. That to me was frustrating, especially for paid DLC. Just, I don't know, I don't like that at
Yeah,
all.
can we talk about that really quick? Do we know if the expansion pass is an automatic, it applies to both games, or you have to buy it for both?
That's the
That's
one
a
thing
really
I
good question.
because they didn't
That's also one of the ones
emphasize.
as well, yes.
Because they didn't
They did
emphasize.
emphasize, well,
They
so no,
they
they
talked about how you could
emphasized it
buy
in
it
an
in
odd
game.
way. It seemed as though they were almost making you think that you would have to buy the expansion for both, because they kept saying the Pokemon Sword expansion pass and the Pokemon Shield expansion pass. I can't imagine that they would actually have you'd have to buy the two different ones. But the way they emphasized it over and over, I don't I'm not totally sure. At first, that when you asked the question, I was just going to say absolutely not a chance that you have to buy both. But the more I think about it, I don't know. Maybe you do.
Yeah, just as a clarification, act because earlier this earlier in the day, I actually did check the eShop on Pokemon Sword and Shield, and actually now have the official bundle with the season pass, and which I last I checked is now up to $90. So that's the game plus the $30. So that's if you want to get the whole package, that's $90 total value. And yeah, from what I've seen so far, like if you ha are an adopter of both games, like 60 and 60, or you get got the dual pack like I did. Then yeah, like that's $30 each if you want to get for both versions. Which yeah, that's kind of steep, especially
That's
like I was hoping
really
I don't know,
steep. I
like
can't
if you buy.
imagine that's true, man. That there's no way.
Yeah, and that's kind of like one argument against it. Like if they have like one season pass for both versions, that would be great. That would be just like one season pass for both versions. That would be perfect. But yeah, just for separate expansions for both games, yeah, that's kind of like what people is kind of a little bit like make a little bit miffy about the fan base. And also, just a quick detail, don't you just hate it they actually made a Galarian Slowpoke as a marketing tool to make you buy this expansion pass? The fact that you had to go and buy this expansion pass to evolve this Galarian Slowpoke to a Galarian Slowking, which like, okay, like.
No, you can evolve it into either a Slowbro or a Slowking. They made sure to emphasize that you can get, much like the Apple Teeny, you have an item in the Sword expansion that can evolve it into a special Slowbro, and the one in the Shield expansion that can evolve it into a Slowking.
Oh yeah, right. Right, the
That's not
evolutional
confusing
tree.
at
Right,
all.
forgot.
Wow. So according
Right.
to VG247, you do have to buy both if you
Of
have both
course.
versions. That is unbelievable. That changes my opinion about this a
Hold on. We
Yeah,
have
again,
time for them to fix this. Okay, we
that's
have time for them to fix
gross.
this.
Oh my goodness,
They use a
that's gross.
Slowpoke as a marketing tool. Exactly. That's kind of a little bit like I
Right? Poor
expected.
Slowpoke is being sent out here to steal $30 from people.
It's like I just like yeah. This is kind of like the argument that also one of our staff members at the other table said. Like this is the kind of thing you can expect from Capcom, like early day Capcom. Like ouch, that happened. DLCs, like be Like, I expect like $20 is probably most like the limit I'm gonna set for expansion passes. But to set up as half of a game, heck, I can even buy like a full set discounted game like Yakuza Kiwami or something of that sort. And that's a full title. So to pay $30, like the content, they really have to like re-emphasize the content if it's worth that $30. As of right now, like a lot of people is like very iffy. So it's kind of like it's a very murky. It's very murky.
Well, so I will say the amount of content in here looks to be incredible. This isn't, to me, an issue of not selling a complete game. Some people are saying Pokemon Sword and Shield were incomplete when they launched, and now they're trying to update it with... no, not at all. This game was short. I've heard people say, no, this is just as long as any other Pokemon game. The post-game content was a little bit disappointing for some, and this seems to be the best post-game content they've ever done. And yes, I think it's fair to charge $30 for what we've seen. It seems to be a massive expansion. I don't have an issue with that at all. Especially to say that, oh, they shouldn't have launched the game. These aren't going to be ready until the summer and fall, respectively. That's not an incomplete game. That's a game that's completed that they're continuing to work on. I completely agree with their mentality there. But the fact that you would have to buy both expansion passes if you have both games is unbelievable. And that's just gross. You're asking people to spend $30 for different versions of Pokemon you're putting different Pokemon behind a $30 paywall by doing that, and that is gross. That is a problem.
Yeah.
I know you can trade, I feel like it's a problem even on the regular versions, but especially when you're asking people to buy DLC, that is crazy to me. That is gross.
Right. It's just. Yeah, Pokemon Company, a little bit of kind of the greedy side of things. Like, again, if it's like one pass for both games, perfect. You would have sold a lot of people. But yeah, just put it separated to get that extra $30 from all of us. Yeah.
That's
not
$60. Very... Well, yeah, and that's another game.
Yeah, that, again, like, how to, like, just basically times two the 30 is like, yeah, like... I really wish that Pokemon Freak would just say one pass for both games.
That should be what it is. I mean, it maybe they'll change it by June. We don't know, but yeah, I mean that's not cool. I mean, and as Tyler noted, you know, I'm actually okay with the whole version exclusive things, which is something I forgot to mention in my Pokemon Shield thing. I didn't realize that there's actually two different gym leaders in each version of Sword and Shield. I thought there was only one. There's actually two.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. I honestly didn't know that. It was a nice surprise. And I like that there's, you know, different trainers and such that you're going to meet in the game because of the version exclusives. But that ain't worth $30 a piece, you know.
Right. And just as for reference as well, like the new trainer that you're going to see is either Clara or Avery. And yeah. I just want to say, Clara's design, I think they kind of took a little reference from a little pop culture show called Demon Slayer, because that butterfly design of hers is like, yeah, are you sure you're not trying to get on the hype train of a certain anime show? And Avery, the psychic trainer, which levitating Pokeballs. Yeah, like, how strong you gotta be to weaponize Pokeballs? I wonder.
Well, I mean, they're already weaponized if you really think about it, so... anyway, but overall, this was a very impressive Nintendo Direct. It was, I'm not gonna lie, a lot of us, and by a lot of us I mean me and certain other fans that I know, including a former co-host of ours and Daisy Delilah, were very worried about what this Direct was going to be, because we thought it was going to be, you know, very loose news, you know, Pokemon Home, Pokemon Sleep, you know, maybe Detective Pikachu, stuff like that. And then Mystery Dungeon, when it started out, I was like, oh crap, here we go, this is gonna be bad, it's gonna be a waste of 20 minutes. And we have had those directs before, even though we don't like to admit it. And then all of a sudden the expansion pass comes out, and I was like, okay, this is good. And then they started showing new content, this was better, and I liked it, and it had a strong ending. And again, with it coming out in June, which is of course E3 time, which should perfect way to capitalize on that, and then one for the fall later, maybe during a dead spot, we don't know. It's good. This was the best thing that came from, this is the best way they could have played this Direct, and so for that we are grateful. And
this is
a bit of a tangent,
but just thinking about the expansions that we've gotten for Nintendo games, it is shocking to me that we haven't gotten a Mario Odyssey expansion similar to this. Like Breath of the Wild got it, Pokemon got it, Fire Emblem got it. Like these big games. Splatoon had a ridiculous amount of post-launch support. I'm very confused as to why Odyssey didn't. And that makes me think maybe we'll be hearing some Odyssey news this year.
I don't know. I think Mario is a very complicated thing. And I say it loosely because obviously Mario is not a complicated game. But because of the nature of Odyssey, where you're literally traveling the universe, pretty much. Okay, well, the world and the moon.
The world, yeah.
The world, the moon, yeah. The dark side of the moon, and then the other dark side of the moon, and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, they literally crammed as much content in that game as possible.
They did.
To make it what it's like a galaxy experience. That thing has a lot of content if you're willing to look. It doesn't need an expansion. Breath of the Wild kind of did because...
No, it didn't. Breath of the Wild more to do than Mario Odyssey.
Hold on. Breath of the Wild did and it didn't. It didn't in that it was indeed a complete experience. However, there was room to grow, like they did with the Master Trials, like they did with the Rise of the Champions, which gave us a little more backstory and et cetera, which was always one of the biggest complaints is that this was one of the lighter stories in Legend of Zelda history, which was fine because they were really emphasizing the open world. With Mario, it already had the open world. It already had the deep enough story and all the extra challenges, including getting every single moon to get the special picture, which Will did. So congrats on you. That was one game you actually completed. So
yes, yeah, good job. Well, completed that one.
Bravo.
And I just want to also bring up as well because, like, again, even post game as well, they added the update with like the little Luigi's Balloon World.
Yeah, they did right. Luigi's Balloon World.
They did do extra, that.
Yeah. But I think Todd, I hear you on Breath of the Wild having room to grow. I think Odyssey had room to grow as well. They could have easily done new worlds that were more platforming focused. That was you said that Breath of the Wild shored up some of its complaints about its story. I think a lot of people were disappointed, myself included, that Odyssey really never tested your platformer abilities, and they could have definitely released a challenge pack in that way that was much more focused on actually platforming.
Did you get 100%? Tyler?
I mean, the...
Tyler.
No, I didn't get 100%. I got 500.
Then you need to go for it, because there are, as Will, I'm sure, was about to tell you, there are some incredibly hard challenges, especially on the dark side of the moon.
No, I know that there are some hard... I beat the dark side of the moon. That wasn't a challenge. That was way too easy. I beat the darker side of the moon. Yeah, I beat the darker side of the moon. That was also way too easy. They're really... I know that there were some challenges that were a little bit more difficult than most of the base game. But it definitely never scratched the level that, what's the one on the Wii U, 3D World, had in its post-game. And I think that there was, you don't have to agree with me on that, but I think that there certainly was room to mix in more platforming challenges.
I mean, in my point of view, like, regards to DLCs, Mario, like, regards to Super Odyssey, I feel like, again, like, it's pretty much a complete game as of itself. I mean, anything else added onto it is just, like, already good enough. It doesn't really need to, like, feel like it has to, like, expand more on DLC. Because, again, Odyssey is a perfect game as it is. I don't feel like they need to go add more. The last thing, like, for other Mario licenses, like Mario Kart Deluxe or, like, any other Mario titles that have DLC, like, again, extra cars, extra characters. Okay, that's cool enough. But I feel like regarding to Nintendo, they really have to be careful regarding to adding that DLC label to Mario game. Because again, look at Mario Kart 2 or any other things that like have been kind of a little bit like attaching that DLC label to the Mario license. So I think that's kind of the thing that Nintendo has to be very careful of. Like, do they want to really put DLC next to Mario? And like, we have the Mario's DLC, all that, yada, yada, yada. And yeah, I feel like they have to be careful if they're going to put in like a season pass to Mario, a Mario game, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, and it's all just opinion, obviously. Like, there's some people who feel like, you know, Smash Bros. Getting more characters is gratuitous because it's like, well, you know, like, you're just adding on characters for, like, no apparent reason. Doesn't really add anything to the game, and yada, yada, yada. And I know there's some people, like, I never played, even though I got it, I actually got the code from Nintendo to do the DLC. I never played it. I just never got around to it. I had other games to play, and it wasn't a review requirement, so I never got around to it. I probably will, But it was, I was done. I was done with the game. And some games, like, you don't feel you need DLC. Whereas with Pokemon, the very nature of Pokemon is that there's always something new to explore. That's why the anime is so intriguing, is because there's always a new place for Ash to go. And that's exciting to see and behold. And so with, you know, the Isle of Armor and the Crown Tundra, you know, you're excited because it's like, oh, these are brand new areas. I've never been to these places before. And so that makes sense that they would do that for the for Pokemon Sword and Shield. Whereas Odyssey, I don't know. I mean, I can see why you might want it and everything, but given everything that they have in there and all the moons and all the hidden stuff that you have to
saying it's short on content. It certainly had content.
Definitely not.
I just think it would have sold really well. That's really my main point, is that if they added the DLC, something to it,
the DLC would have sold well.
For Odyssey, yeah.
Okay, that's what I was saying. You made it say like the game didn't sell. I was like, it sold well.
Oh, yeah. No, the game sold really well, of course.
Okay. All right, moving on to the news. There has been some small news stories that we definitely want to talk about. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. And we're going to talk more about Pokemon. No, I'm just joking. Actually, we're going to talk about a game that me and Will are very fond of. That's Astral Chain. We actually asked a while ago, I believe it was during our recap show, about the success of Astral Chain. And during an interview, the creative director and director of the game noted that Astral Chain did indeed sell well above expectations. So, which is always something you'll want to hear. Now, we don't have a number. We probably won't get a number unless they specifically state it. But it's good to hear that, at least in the eyes of Platinum, Astral Chain met the expectations that they had for it on the Switch, and that it sold above it, which could mean Astral Chain 2?
Yeah, that ending definitely, I feel like, is very open for sequels. So, yes, I hopefully they would like develop more into the world of Astral Chain. I feel like they can do that with
Or they could, this could just reinforce their desire to continue working with Nintendo, including beyond Bayonetta 3, whenever it gets here.
Funny enough as well, like kind of in coincidence with that, because Hideki Kami actually told, like, I think one report says is still currently developing, is so far very good, and they are planning, hopefully, to show off some news sometime this year. So, but yeah, again, who knows if that's true or not? Hopefully.
Hopefully, he said. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm happy. This is the kind of news that makes us happy, because there are always going to be games that we want to do well, but we don't know if it will do well. Like Mario Rabbids is a great example of that. We didn't know if it would do well, but then it did. I do believe it's still the best third party selling Nintendo Switch game of all time. Don't hold me to that, but I'm pretty sure. Then Octopath Traveler, obviously, that sold 1.5 million in a few weeks. Very happy about that. And we would probably expect the same of Bravely Default 2. Not the second, 2. And now hearing the Astral Chain did well, I've heard that Ultimate Alliance did well enough. And, you know, this just enforces that, hey, you know, third-party games, if you make them well enough, they're going to sell on Switch. And that's what you want to see, quality third-party titles. Now, Will, you had another story from Platinum about a partnership. Go ahead and take it away.
Yes, like this kind of a little bit on the dreary, unfortunately, but I have a sense of dread regarding to this, because also in that same day regarding to sales, Platinum Games' president and CEO Kenichi Sato also revealed that they have recently signed a partnership with the Chinese conglomerate Tencent Holdings. So, and the statement is as follows. We would like to announce that we have received capital investment from Tencent Holdings Limited as a basis for partnership. This partnership has no effect on independence of our company, and we will continue operations under our current corporate structures. Yes. So if you don't know, if you have been living under a rock, Tencent has been kind of as a Chinese conglomerate that has been getting a little bit of power and starting to monopoly during in the world and in the gaming industry. And if you want to know, again, they also have shares in Activision Blizzard and also currently aiding Nintendo instead of Nintendo Switch in China. So, and unfortunately, as you know, the current events that happened with Blizzard, of course, with the Hong Kong political climate, things are a little bit skeptical. Yeah, very skeptical, and putting some fans on edge, because Tencent Holdings is like, yeah, this is kind of the signs of capitalism right here and there. And the fact that Tencent Holdings affected Blizzard to the point of it interfering with some current events is a little bit worrying. And of course, Platinum Games is one of those companies you do not, they are best at their craft. So, and with Tencent Holdings and Chinese, with Tencent is just, people are worried. There are people worried about that. Tencent were gonna go and have, like, I don't know, dabbled or just like affect Platinum Games' trade process. I mean, here's hoping that it doesn't. It won't affect with like Bayonetta or any of their future products. But yeah, people can't help but be a little bit worried of like this partnership.
Yeah.
It's just kind of very worrying for me because again, Bayonetta, like again with the Hong Kong protests and people like says like. It's a lot. It's kind of very murky going for this partnership, which a lot of fans are again, they're on edge right now.
I think that's a little bit of an overreaction, though. I mean, Tencent owns plenty of other I guess developers. I know they own a big chunk of Epic Games, and they own some Activision Blizzard stock. And like, I know Activision Blizzard was on the forefront of that controversy, and maybe Tencent had something to do with that. But I don't think that we've seen that affect games. Like, we haven't seen Chinese censors impacting the like Western video game releases.
Not in
At
the
least to my
public.
knowledge, we haven't seen that yet. And
I
Platinum
mean,
works on mostly single player games, so I don't think that they're really going to be in that online realm where then you have what we had with the what's it, oh my gosh, the Activision Blizzard Overwatch protests and all that stuff. So
Well, yes, I can agree. Like, there is perhaps it is a bit of an overreaction. I mean, we don't know. There aren't really like clear examples of Tencent's what's the word? Like dipping their toes into their business. But yeah, like here's hoping that like that Platinum Games won't be affected by this partnership. It's just like again, capital investments. But hopefully, it's like we would like you to do us a favor and all that. It's like hopefully it won't be to that situation. Yes.
So I'm not gonna weigh on this because it's too soon to tell. I think that Platinum would not get into a partner relationship with anybody that they felt would alter their game direction because they are way too crazy. I mean, independent. Yeah, totally meant that. I mean, the only one crazier than them is Suda. We know this for a fact. But they wouldn't risk their creative vision. That's why they've even said they're trying to get further and further into indie game territory. In regards to their development, so that the publishers can't own them. They can help them, they can't own them. And that's why they like Nintendo, is because Nintendo doesn't push things too far. And they even said, hey, go crazy with Bayonetta, and we got Bayonetta 2. And we all know how suggestive that game was. So that's why they love working with Nintendo. So I think this is more about, getting money and more publishing rights and everything to make sure that their games are distributed as many places as possible, which a lot of companies do. Like we said, Activision, Blizzard, and Epic have done it with Tencent. It's easy to paint everybody as, the evil corporation, like in Killer Instinct with Walmart. I mean, Ultratech, totally.
I think you're confusing with another Ultratech of a certain EA company, I believe.
That was, no, actually, I was making an actual joke about how Ultratech was considered to be evil Walmart. But whatever. I can't help it that you guys aren't hip with the kids like I am. At my ripe old age of 30, I'm more hip than both of you. Dang
Okay,
youngins.
boomer. Okay, boomer.
As I, yeah, the back in my day, the only boomers we had weren't, never mind. I was gonna make a jet joke, but that was probably gonna fly over your heads. Boom! Got it. Jet, fly. Moving on. So this next story is, oh, this one's weird. All right, so they say that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Well, there's also another phrase out there for us creative types, and it goes, good men borrow, great men steal. And that brings us to Alienware, because Alienware has almost quite literally cloned the Nintendo Switch into their own little, what they call it, their own PC console. They basically took a PC and put it into a Switch base, basically, and they're calling it their own thing.
Yeah, like the fact they revered this thing in the in CES is like, really?
Yeah.
Really, Alienware? It's like, wow. Just wow.
Yeah. Now, for the record, I don't know. I haven't looked into this too much, but Alienware obviously makes quality products. They have been around a very long time. They are a respectable company, and it's clear that they saw something in the Nintendo Switch, which is awesome. But for them to basically just go and clone it, like not even try and hide it, it's like that terrible meme about, like, hey, can I copy your homework? And they're like, yeah, but don't make it too obvious, And then like that's the thing. Ooh, we should just make that meme our own ourselves if someone else hasn't already. Tyler, get on it.
I'm not a good editor in that way.
Don't give me excuses. Give me results. Anyway, but yeah, we're definitely gonna be keeping our eye on this because,
Yeah, like my opinions on those things, like one, if they're gonna do this, I mean, one, obviously they gotta get past Nintendo's lawyers, that's one thing.
that's one thing.
And secondly, like if they're gonna really are if it does get past lawyers, like is this gonna be trying to go obviously the complete against directly to the Nintendo Switch? And like one thing is like if it's gonna come out to the market, how much is it gonna be? Because it's like if it's beyond 300, you can forget about it.
Yeah, it
Because
won't
like
sell. And
unless it's like
if they're touting this as PC powerful, that means that they have like, a super HD 40K plus knuckle graphics, super fast processor, 60 frames per second and everything, and that's awesome, but that ain't cheap.
Right,
No, it's not.
and
That
that thing
ain't
gets
cheap.
hot real quick. Things get hot
Yeah.
real quick.
So
imitation is the best form of flattery, though, and I do think we should expect to see maybe even Sony and Microsoft eventually release a similar to Switch product, just like they did with Kinect and Move.
But that's but that, but I counter that. I counter that by saying they didn't. Think about it, because remember though, the Switch came out while they were making a Scarlet, or sorry, Xbox Series. That's a stupid
No,
name.
true,
I'm
true,
gonna call it
true.
Scarlet.
But
They were
there's rumors of
making
multiple consoles in development for both of them.
which is stupid, but that's another topic entirely. But the ones that we know about that are coming out within the next year are the PS5 and the Scarlet. Still not calling it its real name. And everything we've heard from them is that, it's about the power, it's about the graphics, it's about the processing and everything. And so if they were to try and imitate the Switch, it would go just about as well as the Move and the Kinect. Badly.
Maybe, but I know. I mean, remember the Vita had that cross-platform play with the PS4 for a
It's
minute there?
true.
I wouldn't be
Right,
surprised if
that it did.
Sony
They
tried to
did,
take
yes.
another crack at that with the PS5 and release an accessory
Sony
that's
got
not
close.
necessary, but.
Sony got close, but the Vita was still horrible. So,
It
right,
was
right,
because they
right.
didn't have any games and it was overpriced.
I mean, the only thing that's like kind of like this is currently in the rumors right now, but right now, like, it's been said that the PS5 is supposedly play all prior generation games from PS1 days, PS2, and PS3, and PS4. So, like, it's currently rumors right now, but if that is true, then that's kind
That
of
would be
their
huge.
edge right now.
That
That
would
would
be
be their
huge.
edge.
I'm not gonna lie, that would be huge. But we'll see. But I don't know. Like I saw this and I was just like, that looks like a Switch. And it's like, oh, it's from Alienware. I'm like, oh, they're copying the Switch. Oh, okay, I see what you're doing. I see you. I see you, Alienware. I see you, man. Let's see. What's
It's gonna be an
next?
interesting.
Apple? The I Switch. I switch out or something like that. Or I sell out, more likely. iPhone switch, iPad switch, I switch
Actually,
pad.
just FYI, because Kojima actually did that with the iDroid in Metal Gear Solid
iDroid.
V. He actually did that.
I
I'm
believe
no
it.
kidding.
I know. I it's Kojima. I believe it. Trust me. I'm just waiting for someone to make iRobot. Anybody? Come on!
iRobot. I
That
know.
was
Yeah, iRobot is the
gold.
show.
That was gold. Come on! Oh, fine, whatever. All right, the last news story, which is one I'm actually happy about, is that apparently, in terms of overall success, 2019 was the most successful for the Switch and in Nintendo history in certain metrics. And by that, I say that according to Famitsu, which is the main magazine of Japan in terms of gaming, the Nintendo Switch accounted for 76% of the console sales market for the year. And that's a 29% increase over 2018. Impressive. Impressive. Now you could say, well, Todd, come on. Okay, I mean, PS4, it's in 20 years. Xbox literally has no impact in Japan. We learned that last time with Xbox One. So is it really a surprise? That, yeah, actually. Because PS4, they had games. They had good games, even. They had Kingdom Hearts. They had Resident Evil 2. They had... Oh, what was the other one?
God of War, I believe.
Was that last year? That was last year.
Oh, okay, never mind.
But still, like that's still good stuff. And this little game called Death Studying, something like that. some game by Kojima, you know how it is. And they had a few more scattered throughout. And so these were high quality titles, especially Kingdom Hearts and Resident Evil and Stealth Riding or whatever that Kojima game was. And that was Package Delivery Simulator, right, Will? That was it.
I think you're confusing that for Sekiro, but I digress.
No, well, you wish. Oh, Sekiro. There you go. Sekiro came out this year. And that was another good one. So there were games that definitely would sell systems, but the Switch was just doing better. And add that to the sales over Thanksgiving, especially in America, where it had its best Thanksgiving week ever. And the Christmas sales, which are very good. And, of course, the sales of Pokemon and Fire Emblem and all these other Yoshi and all these other Link's Awakening and everything else. It shows that Nintendo Switch really is the console to buy. And even with Scarlet and PS5 coming out, I still think the Switch is going to do extremely well, especially if those price points are extremely high, like PS3 up kind of high. You know, original PS3, obviously. And we'll have to see, but this makes me feel good because, again, at the end of the Wii U cycle, everyone was saying Nintendo is dead. They're not going to have another good console. They can't bounce back. And now they're the dominant console right now. They were the dominant console in 2019, bar none. They had some of the best games in 2019, despite what the Game Awards said. Jerks. And technically, I count Smash Bros. Is a 2018 title. It should have been Fire Emblem in that place, I'm just saying. And, there was a lot to love in 2019 for Nintendo Switch, and I'm glad that they did it so well.
Yeah, no, same here. You do have to remember that the Switch is by far the newest console on the market at that point as well, though. So, obviously not brand new. So, it obviously is extremely successful, and its legs have carried it far. But yeah, I don't feel comfortable projecting forward based on those numbers, but I sure hope that things continue in this direction.
It's definitely a good thing to see, like, how this market is just continuing on, and again, it's just becoming that presence in the global economy. So yeah, just heck, more gaming in the world, definitely just it does more to cheer about. Yes.
All right. So, with that, we are heading into our main event of the night. And not surprisingly, it's about Pokemon! Oh my gosh! So, as we alluded to in our Direct Talk segment, don't know why I said segment like that, but it just felt right. We were a little bit worried about what this Pokemon Direct was bringing, especially when we heard it was 20 minutes and no real announcements as to what was going to be in it. And me and Tyler got basically into a fist fight. I won, obviously. And
no, you lost.
I'm sorry. I've got the height and the reach advantage.
You do have the height and the reach advantage, but as Linhart and Kaspar showed us, sometimes, you know, there are ways for the shorter guy to win.
Yeah, and then like Catherine showed us, if you're just a dominant force, it doesn't matter how irresistible you are. I will thunder brand your act, okay? That's why she was my third wife. Anyway, we had a bit of a debate going on about whether this was the right move for Nintendo in the scope of 2020 to start. Because as we noted in our Nintendo draft, we still really don't know a lot of what's coming out in 2020. Nintendo first and third party wise. There's a lot of gaps in the schedule. And so a lot of us were hoping for a Nintendo Direct, a full, pure Nintendo Direct, to kind of alleviate some of those fears and wonders and doubts. And then instead we got a Pokemon Direct, which as fun as it was, you know, it was really, really focused. And it didn't really answer all the questions that we have. So was this the right move? Was this the best marketing strategy? Let's sell it and smash. All right, because I am the host and I am so benevolent. So benevolent. Tyler, I will let you go first to explain your incorrect point of view.
Okay, so I feel like maybe I'd be better going second because my main point it's not as an exciting one. I don't think it particularly mattered which Direct Nintendo came out with first, a Pokemon Direct or a Nintendo Direct. These two things are not mutually exclusive. In fact, generally, Pokemon Directs are either immediately followed by or shortly thereafter followed by a full-blown traditional Nintendo Direct. I think it's a little semantic-y. I think we're arguing semantics too much when people, and it wasn't just Utah who was saying that. I saw a lot of people saying, oh, why is this our first communication with Nintendo this year as a Pokemon Direct and not a Nintendo Direct? We're going to get a Nintendo Direct. A Nintendo Direct is coming, but Pokemon has always done its own thing. They've always done Pokemon Directs. They always do a Pokemon Direct right before E3. E3 still comes. We still get Nintendo news. To me, this isn't a big deal either way. Had they started with a regular Nintendo Direct, that would have been just fine. But I don't think they were particularly under pressure to pick one or the other. Frankly, the Pokemon news was ready. 3 Dungeon is coming out in March, as we said, very, very soon. They wanted to get out ahead of that. You don't want to just say, let's wait until our Nintendo Direct is ready in 2 weeks, let's just say. And then after that, we'll do our Pokemon Direct, where we can talk about the Sword and Shield and Mystery Dungeon, and then we'll give people 2 weeks to be ready for Mystery Dungeon to come out. No, that's silly. Internally, Nintendo knows what their schedule is. We don't know everything yet, but this Pokemon Direct, one, did a great job of filling in those gaps, and two, I trust that Nintendo knows how to space these things out. We will get a Nintendo Direct in the next 2 weeks, in the next 3 weeks, and even if we don't, that just means it's not ready yet, and therefore, I'm glad that they gave us something. I'm glad that they talked to us about Pokemon. And then I guess my final point, more on the Direct itself, this definitely opens a lot of space for the next Nintendo Direct. This was 20 minutes, and I guess they could have cut because it really was two big things. But they could have next Nintendo Direct spent 20 minutes talking about this then. Instead, I think that this is speculation on my part, I think that that bodes well for what we're going to see in the Nintendo Direct. They may have wanted to give Pokemon a chance to shine alone to give whatever else they're about to reveal its time to shine alone, just spacing out those announcements. So ultimately, I don't think that it's a big deal either way, which way they do it. And the way that they did it, I think, makes sense based on their timeline.
I will agree that the length of this Direct did indeed allow for the next Direct to be, you know, full of stuff. Not unlike how, I believe, in 2017, we had that small Pokemon Direct that talked about Pokemon Tournament DX, announced the Let's Go, and then talked about, you know, Sword and Shield. You know, that was good. That was good stuff for them, and I'm glad that they did that. And, you know, that was fine. But the difference was, we knew that the Direct was coming for E3. The difference here is that we still don't know pretty much anything about 2020. Yes, we now know that there is a Pokemon Mystery Dungeon game coming 2 weeks before Animal Crossing. Okay, that's March. All right, is there anything? Do we have anything to look forward to in February? What about April, May? What's coming out there? And we still have no clue when the next Nintendo Direct is. And this harkens back to a little time called 2018, which, if I remember correctly, they didn't give us a Nintendo Direct until March. And that sucks.
No, you know what? That is definitely not true.
Okay, when was
2018, we got one in January. They announced Celeste, that's why I remember it, and Mario Tennis Aces were the big games there. And then maybe they called it a Direct Mini, though. It might have been phrased as a Direct Mini, but it was still Nintendo Direct. And then in last year, we had to wait till the middle of February.
I apologize. Yeah. I got my year wrong, but that was still huge because it was like, you know, we were waiting, you know, 6 weeks after, you know, how many months of wanting and waiting for the next Pokemon or for the next Nintendo Direct. And that really killed a lot of momentum. And yeah, sure, we got, you know, the announcement of Kirby, but I'm sorry, Yoshi coming out at the end of March, which is a fun game. It was a fun game, not gonna lie. But it didn't help that we had to wait that long to find out about the stuff. And I'm praying that this is not the case here. So yeah, it frees up the time for the next director to just delve into everything that we need to know. But the question is, was this the right marketing move? And I don't think that it was, because they could have, and I know your argument about it wasn't ready to show, and that's fine, but because of the very nature of the direct itself, which was a lot of unfinished footage, a lot of those, you know, table shots with all the concept art, which was cool.
That was
not
very cool.
Lie. That was very cool. I know they've done it before. I think they did it for Sword and Shield, actually. That or Let's Go. I can't remember now.
Right.
They had done, like, the table shots before. So you can't tell me that they couldn't have done a version of that, like, last month. You know, end the year, answer the criticisms. Hey, we heard you didn't like the national decks. This expansion will fix it. Oh, what's that? You feel like there could be even more content. This content will fix that. You know, that's a month difference for something that's going to come out in June. And this direct, I mean, obviously, and then your argument about the whole, oh, they wouldn't do a direct, you know, 2 weeks before the game comes out. Yeah, they would. They've done it before. How many games have they announced day of releases for, including big titles?
But they're never major
like
titles.
Fortnite coming out the day of the announcement was pretty
cool.
Yeah,
Shadow Drops, digital
and
titles.
That's very different, though. That's a free-to-play game that everybody knew. Fortnite does not, and it was rumored to be coming for, I mean, it leaked months prior. Everybody knew about Fortnite.
Still, and with 2 weeks, especially for this, for what's honestly a lower tier Pokemon franchise, 2 weeks is more than enough build up. It wasn't like, if this was like, I know this is not never going to happen, but if it was Pokemon Snap 2, that would have been a mistake, because you needed to build up the hype for Pokemon Snap 2, or even Detective Pikachu 2, which we still know is coming. All right? You know, that's different. But for Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, you could have done it mid-February, come out March 6th, and it would have been fine.
See, whereas, I disagree there. That's hypothetical.
It's my turn. In the words of the immortal Skip Bayless, it's my turn! You said it was my turn! Dang those Cowboys! Oh, wait, that's another topic. go Giants. You know, the question is, what's the best marketing strategy? And as cool as it was, as awesome as this was not the best marketing strategy for the Switch in 2020, because we still have so many dang questions! And this could be, it could be, stars align! Next week at this time, we're talking about how, you know, we got that next direct and we're, you know, already excited for the rest of 2020. But if that was the case, why not just reverse it? Why not do that direct now and this direct then? It makes no sense to just do a focused one 3 months, essentially, you know, November. Okay, 2 months, November, December, January. Fine. 2 months after the release of Pokemon. Now to say, oh, yeah, hey, we got expansions coming out. When, you know, the hype, at least a little bit, has died down. You know, oh yeah, but this is the way you spike it back up. You gotta get ready for 2020. And that's true. But still, you could have done this 3 weeks from now. It's still been fine. Whereas, we're still wondering what's coming out in February, April, May. June is the expansion pass. I'll give that one a pass. July, August, September, October, November, December. We still have virtually no idea what's coming out outside of March. Because that's when Animal Crossing comes out. We know Xenoblade is coming, but we don't know when. We know Bravely Default 2 is coming, but we don't know when. The Pass is coming out in June in the fall. Fun to buy.
Tokyo Mirage Sessions, Sharp FE comes out this month. I think it comes out next week.
And that's a super low-tier, epic, niche, will-drooling title, and you know it.
No, I do.
Why the heck you had to use me as a derogatory term?
I'll go back to your Luke Perry.
I think your point about they could have done this last month. I strongly disagree with that from a marketing perspective. I think at that point, if you announce it like a month after you released Pokemon Sword and Shield, you still have a lot of people who haven't picked up that game yet, and now you're telling them, hang tight, because you want to wait until we add these 200 Pokemon to buy this game. This is coming, so you can wait to buy it. That's how a lot of people think. I know that's a lot of people were disappointed in Super Mario Maker 2, and they didn't buy the game because its multiplayer was totally busted, as you recall.
I think that's a similar
situation here, where people are going to be dissatisfied with the national decks.
We thought we thought that was going to be the case, that a lot of people would not buy the game because of the multiplayer, and then they announced it, and how many people bought it in like in the first 2 days? Like 3 million.
Right. No, that game sold well, for sure. I think it could have sold better, but I know multiple people who did not buy that game who still haven't, because they said, well, it's anecdotal for sure, but I do believe this is a wider spread thing. We're not going to buy this because we want to play the multiplayer. We're going to wait for that to come out. And because it was such a train wreck and they didn't release it for so long, those people still haven't bought that game.
Yeah, and you were also the person who told me, Todd, you're talking about the few people who were mad, even though it was like a whole bunch of people on the internet who were mad about the national decks, and they sold 6 million copies.
Yeah, but there are more people who still haven't bought the game. I think that it's so early into a game's release, especially before Christmas when parents are buying the game for their kids. Like, you don't want to tell them, you know what, don't buy it now because there's more stuff coming. You want to wait until after that first push starts to slow down, which wouldn't make sense. It would be around now after the holiday season. I think the timing on that, on this is perfect.
Okay, fine. Well, I'll pause. Quiet, Will. We're still arguing. You don't have a side. You said yourself you don't have a side. Okay, I'll slightly concede that to you. I know we're just kind of a different opinion on that, but let's just say that's right. But still, this doesn't save the fact that no matter what time this was revealed with the expansion passes, that's still something in June that's still just an expansion pass for a game that's already been bought. And, you know, yes, those Pokemon fans who definitely want to go back into their adventure, they're going to want to. I'm doing it. You're doing it. Will, if he ever gets out of the wild area, is going to do it. You know, it's going to be awesome, and I'm excited. But that still doesn't fill the void. You could have done this after the first Nintendo Direct. You know, what they have be danged. We need something to hold on to. Because this time last year, we had Super Mario Bros. U. And it sold basically 2 million plus copies because not a lot of people bought it from the Wii U version. And that was fine. That was a good marketing move because they proved it with Mario Kart and some of the other titles, like Donkey Kong. You know, that worked. And then they had, you know, Yoshi in March. And that was awesome. And then, you know, Fire Emblem was supposed to be in May, but that got delayed. And, you know, we were sad and all that. And then, you know, and then once they hit July, they were on bum rush until the end of the year. But we don't know that. We don't know that for this year. And if they had even done it like a week on week, 1 week Nintendo Direct, 1 week Pokemon Direct, in that order, it would still have the same amount of hype. We still would have been excited about Pokemon, but now we can say this is just adding to the epic year that is 2020, and we don't have that feeling. All we have is, great, we can have Pokemon again in June. What are we playing up until then?
Would you describe 2019 as an epic year for Nintendo?
Not as epic as 2017 because of the games that came out.
And 2017 was a console launch, so that's in its own tier.
This is true.
I would say it's hard to have a better year than Nintendo did last year. They had a Pokemon game, a Mario game, and a Zelda game.
I won't go that far. They had a drought. They had a drought at the beginning of the year.
Of course, yes, they did.
They did.
Overall, it was a very good year.
And we
didn't get our first Direct until February.
Yeah, but
sales show that it was a good year, Todd. I mean,
it was a good year. We just talked about that. But the point is that we faulted them for that. That they didn't give us we were dying without a Nintendo Direct, without anything to talk about.
I was frustrated that we didn't get a Nintendo Direct until February.
And I'm not saying that we needed to have it day one. That would have been unrealistic. I even would have forgiven them if we didn't have it for the first 2 weeks of the new year because of, you know, like you said, development time, perfect timing. They seem to always know exactly when to do the Nintendo Directs, and that's fine. But then they come out with this Pokemon Direct. We're all scared to death. Okay, I'm scared to death, and Delilah was scared to death, and a lot of other Pokemon fans were scared to death, and they were thinking, you know, remakes, Mystery Dungeon, Pokemon Sleep, Pokemon Home, and all that stuff. And yeah, we got the best possible option with the expansion pass, and I love that Direct. Four out of five. But again, that's June. That's the fall, and it's expansion. You know, I was excited for the Octo expansion, but if they dedicated an entire Direct to that, which they didn't, they tacked it on at the end of a Direct, but if that was its own Direct, I would have been like, okay, that's kind of cool, but that's not, you know, full Direct worthy. Versus, you know, and again, I agree with you that taking these 20 minutes out of a Direct to let the Direct be about all the other games was a good move. It was a good move. They had enough Pokemon news to do this. But it still doesn't excuse the fact that we're now, you know, 9 days into 2019. It's still been months since our last full Nintendo Direct, our last pure Nintendo Direct, and we still don't know anything about 2020 outside of Animal Crossing and Tokyo Mirage, which is super niche and you know it.
No, it is. It is. Well, I have two additional points.
By all means.
I guess 2.5, because this first one's really, really quick. I disagree. Ooh. We do know more. We know at least five games, and you had mentioned them earlier, Bravely Default, Xenoblade Remake as well. So we know a decent amount of games. We don't know the big games, but those are coming. The point number one, or I guess my first and final point of two, is that I think you're conflating Nintendo's actual release schedule with doing a Nintendo Direct. We're not going to get a big game in February, and that's not the fault of them not doing a Nintendo Direct. That's just they don't have a big game ready to launch in February.
I'm just like giving that, an example. That has you nothing know it.
That has well. That was one of your points, though, and I think that's inaccurate. So there's that. Their Nintendo Direct doesn't necessarily mean games are coming.
Literally does. It literally means games are coming. It may not be coming soon, but they're coming.
No, that's point. Okay. That's true. But you see what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say if they had a Nintendo Direct tomorrow, that doesn't mean that there's going to be a game that comes out tomorrow.
No,
it doesn't
not.
Mean there's going to be a game that comes out in February. It means that the games are coming out eventually.
Yeah.
So if we get a Direct in 2 weeks from now, we're going to look back at this and say, so we didn't know 2 weeks ago, and now we do know. Like, that's not going to affect us. That's not going to change our year. I think we're really caught up in this moment of looking for news, but we do know what's coming in our immediate future. We don't need a Nintendo Direct until, like, March, in my opinion, to fill in the gaps for the year, because we have 3 months plotted out. There's Tokyo Mirage Sessions. It's a small game, I agree. There's February is going to be pretty barren. We're going to get some indie games. There's going to be Animal Crossing and Pokemon Mystery Dungeon in March. And now, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon and Animal Crossing, March is a big month. That's a solid month. February is quiet, but that's just fine. I don't need to know what's coming out in April right now. It's funny to me that you make that point, because we're kind of flipping here. You said that they could have done this Pokemon Direct in February and had Mystery Dungeon drop 2 weeks after the Direct without any real time to market it. I disagree. I think that smaller game needs more time to market, and I don't think that February slot would have fit for this Pokemon Direct, but that's just my opinion on that. I'm actually kind of using your same argument, but I threw a larger period of time here. I don't think that we need a Nintendo Direct in this, the second week of January, that tells us what's coming out in the fourth week in April. I'm going to be the exact same way if we hear about that in the fourth week of January or the third week in February. You know, it would be nice. We want Nintendo news. We're Nintendo podcasters. We love Nintendo. We are hungry for news at all times. There's going to be another Nintendo Direct.
We know that.
Coming.
Obviously.
There's going to be another Nintendo Direct. You know,
I know.
I think that this was a good time, especially with a game coming out in March for Pokemon. 2 months, you get the game out there, you get the announcement out there, you get time to build it up. It makes perfect sense.
Okay, now you can talk, Will.
Like, I was about to go and mention regarding to early adopters, because like early you mentioned, Tyler, like people like, while like on games release days, they sold like hotcakes, like with Pokemon or with Super Mario Maker 2. Like, yeah, those things sold like hotcakes, even with its problems of like, yeah, lacking features, lacking multiplayer, and so far and so forth. And yeah, like that's kind of like one thing that I can't help but wonder, like that why people also like are not early adopters. Like, they want these features to come and want to like get like the full product, like with, I don't know, like with National Deluxe and Pokemon Sword and Shield. And therefore, like if people have not bought Pokemon yet, then yeah, I think that it will make the like the expansion pack much more like appealing, and yeah, like probably won't be as like disappointing as like hardcore fans. I mean, going back to the topic of like whether or not this is the right marketing strategy for Nintendo, like I was thinking, like, what Todd said, like, if they did, like, a focus direct to basically outline the entire year of what's going to be coming up, perhaps that would have been, like the ideal situation, because, like, again, we have, like, we know what's going to happen, and then, like, yeah, we're pretty much set for the entire year, and we don't have to worry about, like, don't have to worry about anything. And if they showed a Pokemon Direct right after a Focus Direct, main Direct, then perhaps like it wouldn't, like perhaps it would take the effect from the Pokemon Direct, or I don't know. It just seems like it would have been like ideal, of course. But it's as you said, Tyler, like we don't need, like, again, they did not promise us anything. We're not have to like take, like, they didn't promise us anything. It is going to come regardless. Like, it's just about like when and if it's going to be ready. Because again, Nintendo, they don't like put an announcement on Twitter to say like a Direct is coming like 2 days after, like, no, while it's like they still have to work on some like production or like in like the game's production time. But it's really is kind of an interesting debate to see on both sides. Like, is it right? Is it wrong? It's really like, who can really say, honestly? I mean, I would like to say like that I would like to have a main Direct just to like keep us like satisfied for the rest of the year. But having a Pokemon Direct right now, just to like fill in that void right now that all of us are wanting. We want a Direct, but then we got a Pokemon Direct. Like, okay, it's something, I guess. Then like, and now we're kind of like some of us are excited while some of us are a little still upset, but regardless, but again, it was something to help us like feed on for this current like early part of the year. So whether or not this is the right marketing strategy for Nintendo, that still remains to be seen if it like will pay off it for the rest of the year. But again, the bottom line still stands that a Direct is coming regardless. It's just about when Nintendo is ready.
We'll see. We will see. Alright, and with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you, what do you think Nintendo needed to do in order to succeed in 2020? And this has made me lose my faith on our polls.
Oh, boy.
number one, or the first choice, was multiple Game of the Year candidates. That got 23%. Just hear me out on this. So, multiple Game of the Year candidates, that seems like something that's very important for Nintendo to do this year. 23% said that. A teaser of Shin Megami Tensei 5 or Bayonetta 3. That got 31%, so more
really?
People
I dig
thought
it.
A 30-second teaser was more important than multiple Game of the Year candidates. 23% said new hardware with Breath of the Wild 2, and 23% said revive an old IP.
Really?
Yes.
I dig it.
The Will's choice was the most popular.
Wow.
Sometimes you gotta give the fans what they want, Tyler.
And shout out to Kremlin Kevin, who said Splatoon 3. Which I would love as well. And Clinton Navigator Bowman said, keep doing what's brought players to the dance the last 3 years. Don't try to find solutions to problems that don't exist.
Yeah, this was also the guy who said that Smash Brothers wasn't a fighting game.
That's true.
And now Smash Brothers is the best fighting game, best-selling fighting game franchise ever, and Ultima is the best-selling fighting game ever. So, yeah. take that as you will. Take that as you will. All right. So, do we want to do a poll about the Nintendo Direct to see if the fans will settle our argument, Tyler?
I
think that would be right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? That works. That's a good one.
Was okay. Word it how you will, but word it was it the right move to do the Pokemon hashtag Pokemon Direct before a full on hashtag Nintendo Direct? Something like that. Very curious to see how this one will do. And of course, let us know everything you thought about all the news of the week, including, of course, what did you think about the Pokemon Direct? Which of the expansion packs are you most looking forward to, the Isle of Armor or the Crown Tundra? Which of the new features, new Pokemon, new additions are you looking forward to the most? Which one are you, if it does require you to get it for Sword and Shield, which one do you think you'll get it for? And of course, what do you think about Platinum Games, Astral Chain, the year of 2019 for Switch and its sales? Let us know. So, for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We have made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.